You know, if you heard Barry pray this morning for the offering, it was very, very accurate. It was very accurate. We've been looking at worship. And so many times people think that worship is just what just happened. But worship is all of life. All of life is a worship unto God. Our very existence brings glory and honor and worship to God. And so literally, the invocation is worship to God. The singing is worship to God. When we give of our tithes and offerings, that is worship to God. The message is worship to God. Our response is worship to God. It's all worship to God. Amen? Amen. And so we're going to look at a specific aspect of worship. You know, the last couple of weeks we've been looking at the bigger picture of worship. All of creation brings glory to God. Our very existence brings glory to God. Today we're going to look at worship preferences. And if you don't mind, I actually may even meddle a little bit. Is that okay? Everyone know what meddling is? Stepping on toes, that kind of thing. But I'm going to challenge us just a little bit. So we're going to look at worship preferences. Preferences. And there's two sheets in your bulletin. And if there are errors on it, Tanya was on vacation this week, so it's all me. Spelling errors, everything. It's all me. The PowerPoint, everything. No one was able to double check it and triple check it, so who knows how many errors. I'm sure someone at the end of the service will come and let me know how many, but that's good too. So we're going to look at preferences, but before we go there, here's what Jesus said at the beginning of his ministry after he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then a little bit later, Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And then there's this. What does this symbol stand for? Everyone out loud. Therefore. Therefore, because the Father sent me, so send I you. Therefore. Now everyone read this together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Do you believe that? We are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're his messengers. How many here played sports in high school and middle school? Anyone? Anyone have to be on JV? Anyone stink so much that you're on JV? I know. Any splinter collectors here? You know what I'm talking about? Well, God doesn't have a JV team. God does not have JV. There's only varsity, and that's us. That's us. There is no JV. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has appointed us to preach good news. And all of that, we're the varsity team. You finally made it. Amen? Are you guys excited? Are you awake yet? Now, how does all this happen? It happens as you and I, as we are walking in intimacy with God, others are going to see it in us. And we simply invite them to join with us in this journey. That's what it's all about. Us walking in intimacy with God. Others seeing it and asking, "Man, you're different. What's different about you?" And you simply tell them about Jesus. That's all it is. That's all it is. Now, for visitors that are here, this does not pertain to you, but every week I give you a homework assignment. If you did your homework assignment, turn to the person next to you and grin. If you didn't do it, a frowny face. Okay. Now, if it's in, that's hot pink, by the way, hot pink. Hot pink and underline means there's a blank in your sermon notes. Now, if I don't get to all the sermon notes, all the blanks in your sermon notes, be of good cheer that at the very end in the box, upside down, should be, if I didn't make any mistakes, should be all the answers, okay? But if you want to take sermon notes, that means there's a blank there, and the first blank is preferences. We're going to be looking at preferences, and what I'm calling belief window. Now, if you Google belief window, you're going to see all kinds of different things about belief window. I'm sharing with you something that I picked up from Stephen Covey, my mentor, Paul Holland, and my spiritual dad, Bill Wood. And I've put together this, so whether it's accurate or not, who knows? I believe it is. And so I'm sharing it with you because it's very meaningful to me. My belief window, and so belief is your next blank. Belief window is comprised for me of, and I'm going to do a lot of walking today like I never do, preferences, P is the next blank, convictions, and absolutes. What I'm going to challenge you today is your belief window, your belief system, to break it down and start thinking about what are my preferences, what are my convictions, and what are the absolutes that are non-negotiables? Because what I've run into over my years of ministry is people just have one thing, this is what I believe. And boom, it's in concrete what they believe. But the reality is when we look closer, we begin to realize, no, actually what we believe, we have some preferences, we have some convictions based upon God's word, and then we have absolutes that we believe that are non-negotiables based upon God's word. And we're going to look at that today. I'm going to challenge you a little bit to think about that, okay? So it's going to be a little bit more homework than normal. Now, what do I mean by preferences? In the dictionary, preferences, the act of preferring. Real complex there. The act of preferring. Don't you love it when your teachers told you, when they answered you and gave you the same word in the definition? Didn't you love that? And the one I loved even better was when they said, look it up in the dictionary. If I could spell it. Okay, what do I mean by preferences? Okay, so again, hot pink and underlined means there's a blank. So believe it or not, I know that there's some people here that will go to battle over Ford versus Chevy. Amen? There was a guy in my church that he was a Mopar man. Dodge, Plymouth, all those. I'm serious. He would go and get groceries, and he would count how many Mopars were out in the parking lot, and anyone that does not own a Mopar is an idiot. I'd heard him. I mean, he would almost come to blows over Mopar versus any other piece of junk. Now, can we agree? And I know I'm treading on thin ice here. There are lemons in every brand. Are there not? Now, if you're a Chevy man, Ford man, or whatever, okay. But can we agree that it actually is a preference? Now, chocolate versus vanilla. Now, I don't care what it is. I'm going to choose chocolate every time. I just got to tell you. I don't know if that's my femaleness, which is, there isn't very much in me, but hey, if desiring chocolate is it, then that's in me. Every chance. You know, I went to Wendy's the other day. You know, it was actually a while ago because I'm on this cleanse thing, this horrible cleanse thing, to try and slim a little bit and clean up my system. And they asked me if I wanted a vanilla Frosty. I said, a what? Do you want a vanilla Frosty? No, I want a Frosty. Chocolate. Who heard? I mean, okay, I'm being a little facetious, only a tiny bit. I'm going to choose chocolate. Like, I have to, on this cleanse I'm on, I have two shakes a day and then some kind of normal meal, whatever that is. And you could get vanilla or chocolate. So I have two chocolate shakes every day. Okay, but, and now let me get a little bit closer to home. KJV means King James Version versus NIV, New International Version. Now, there have been church splits over this, okay? But in all honesty, both are based upon God's word. It's a preference. Now, when I memorize, I would rather memorize the King James because it's poetic. It's easier to remember. The NIV is harder to remember, but there's spots in the NIV that are better interpretations than the King James. But in all honesty, it's a preference whether I like King James versus NIV. But I've been told by some extended family members, if I didn't use the King James Version in leading someone to the Lord, they're not saved. And I've thought, what about all the people overseas? Gee. Are you with me? So, their preferences. Now, this is audience participation. Now, the other week someone asked me, I don't understand audience participation. Are we really supposed to say something? And I said, yeah. He said, well, I never know what to say. And I said, well, say Jesus. You're always safe with Jesus. Right? Anyone who grew up in Sunday school, you're always safe when the teacher asks the question, Jesus. Okay. This is not a Jesus answer. Okay. So what are some other preferences in life? What are some other preferences? Gibson. What? Gibson. What's Gibson? Oh, a guitar. Gibson over Yamaha. Right? Isn't Yamaha a pretty fan? It's a good motorcycle, but I hear they make guitars too. Pianos? Yeah. Okay, what's another one?
Style of worship.
Style of worship. That's actually where we're going. Style of worship. That's just a huge one. And believe me, people have stopped talking to each other over that kind of thing. But I promise you, and the next thing is to kind of prove it even further, okay? Worship preferences. And now what we're trying to do, we're going to, and if you recognize what it is, feel free to sing along, okay? So we've tried to download some YouTube in here. So if you guys could play the first one. And if you know it, just join in. And if it doesn't work, there's only happy mistakes. Now, if you grew up in the church like I grew up in, that's what we sang. That was hymn number 2, Holy, 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 in the burgundy hymnal of the CNMA, okay? I don't remember what number it was in the blue one or the red one before that, but in the burgundy one, it was number 2, okay? That's one form of worship. And some people very much enjoy, my mom attends a church that's what they sing. They sing that type of thing, and that's okay. Now, here's the next one, okay? This is a chorus. If you know it, you can join into it. It's a little bit shorter, if it works.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
Now, believe it or not, at one time, that was cutting-edge new music, okay? It's old now, and I couldn't find a more upbeat of that rascal. But the last one was a chorus. The one before it was a hymn. And there have been people that have gone to war over hymns versus choruses. But does anyone know where each of those come from the Word of God? Each of them come directly from the book of Revelation. They quote God's word. Here we have a hymn that's quoting God's word in song form, and we have a chorus quoting God's word in song form, hymn or a chorus, which one is better? Both are based on God's word. They're a preference. Some people like more upbeat music. Some people like more slow music. Some people don't even care. I didn't grow up with music. I came home from college one time and my mom bought a Pioneer Component stereo system to listen to her radio preachers. I didn't listen to music. I didn't at all. So for me, I like either one. But some people, it's just huge. And churches have divided over it. It's a sad thing. Hymns versus choruses. Can I encourage us that our worship style is a preference? Next thing, convictions. The next blank in your notes, convictions. A strong persuasion or belief. Now, for a believer, convictions are based upon a person's understanding of God's word. Please stick with me here. I think these are important principles that I think will help make sense. For a believer, convictions, because normally people say these are my convictions, and it covers everything. It covers preferences, convictions, and absolutes. And I want to break them down. Convictions are based upon a person's understanding of God's word, i.e., keeping the Sabbath holy. How many here? Nah, don't raise your hands. Do not raise your hand. This is a rhetorical question. Do not raise your hands. Here's the question. How many of us keep the Sabbath holy? Do not raise your hand. I'm assuming everyone here does. Now, when I was a kid growing up, we were not allowed to even play games and things on the Sabbath because that was keeping the Sabbath holy. We were allowed to go home and take a nap. I still remember the time I was counting Missip 1, Missip 2, Missip 3, because my parents said I had to sleep for 2 hours. Missip, Missip, Mississip. I got up and I got grounded for another couple hours. To this day, I have family, extended family, that will not eat out on the Lord's Day because in their mind, it's making someone else work, so they would rather not eat out. So on vacation, if they're on vacation and they're traveling on the Lord's Day, they will not stop and eat. If they haven't packed something to take with them, they will not eat. Now, I've been with several of you folks, and you go and you hit a couple restaurants afterward. You hit them pretty good. So do I. Now, for one person, keeping the Sabbath holy means that they will not eat out. Now, I'm not going to go back over here. Let me stay here because we're with convictions. Convictions are something based upon God's word that I must live by because they're my personal convictions. And so for those people in my extended family who cannot eat out on the Lord's Day, I honor that. And I'm with them. I will not do it. But for me, I'm not convicted by that. So keeping the Sabbath holy, one believer can eat out while another believer's conscience does not allow them. And that's okay. And so we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 14. I cheated and already part-marked my Bible with this thing, so I wouldn't have to turn. It would be easier to turn there. I do have to get my spectacles out. Now, we're going to walk through this passage and take a look at what it says. Key principles, your next blank in your notes, if you're taking sermon notes, key principles concerning convictions, Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 23. And the first thing is, seek the Lord in His word. When it comes to convictions, what you believe about convictions and what you're going to do and not do based upon God's word, do this all the time. Where's my finger? Keep the finger in the text. Keep your finger in the text. Keep your finger in God's word. Look to God's word. Not what mom said, not what dad said, not what Uncle Joe said, not what Aunt Mary said. Keep your finger in the text. When we stand before God, when I stand before God, and he says, so Jeffrey, why? I'm pretty sure he'll say Jeffrey. So Jeffrey, why did you do that? Based upon your word and my understanding of this passage, that's why I did it. I hope that's what I'm able to say. I do not want to say, well, my mom said, well, Jerry, our head elder said, well, our worship leader said, no. Keep your finger in the text. Base your decisions and beliefs on God's word. That's why it's given. This is his love letter to us. Keep your finger in the text. That's one of the first things. What we believe, you know, I've been in so many Bible studies, and this isn't in the notes, but I'll be honest, most Bible studies are shared ignorance. Many Bible studies that I've been to are shared ignorance because we look at a text, and then we go around the room, and people, I mean, off the wall stuff that have nothing to do with the text. What does the text say? What is my understanding of the text? Guys, gals, yins, y'all, all y'all. Did I cover all of them? It's an open book final. Does anyone remember those? I hated them. Man, if it's open book, it means you're expected to know the book. You were given the book, and you're expected to know the book, and so the questions that are going to be asked are tough questions based on the book. Sorry about that, dude. I spit when I get excited. It's dangerous to sit in the front row, but I did brush my teeth and gargle, okay? So I had this little old man in one of the churches say, young man, that's not spit, that's our holy water. Sorry, dude. It's an open book test. We need to know the word of God. Because that's what we're going to be. When we stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, that's what it's going to be about. God's word. So what does he begin with? In Romans 14:1, the very first chapter, very first verse in the chapter, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. The very first thing is accept him. Accept him. Accept him or her. You know, how much you may not like me, I'm your brother. Sorry. Life is tough. Suck it up. You're stuck with me. We're brother and sister in Christ. So whatever you think, accept the person. Accept the person. On disputable matters, accept the person whose faith is weak. Now, when I grew up, I misunderstood this. I totally misunderstood this. Because, you see, I thought that the person who did all that other stuff on Sunday that we weren't allowed to do, I thought that's the person whose faith was weak. Actually, we're going to see a little bit later that the person whose faith is really weak is the one that can't do anything. You see, there's some professional Christian brothers, older brothers out there that delight in going around. Hey, you're going to cause me to stumble, so you can't do that. Hey, you can't do that because you're going to cause me to stumble. Professional weaker brothers. The weak person is the one that can't. Now, I'm going to give you a real-life story. I was going to save this to the end. Kirby, the head elder at one of the churches in Slippery Rock that we went to, I grew up not playing any sports on the Lord's Day. Kirby and I played basketball with the profs 3 times a week. I used to have knees then. I could actually play ball. I was the underneath guy. I didn't have a shot, but I had sharp elbows, okay? So I would get rebounds, and I'd feed it to Kirby, and Kirby would put them in. So like a dozen guys rented the middle school out on Sunday evening at 9 o'clock. And they invited Kirby and me to play with them. Kirby was like, come on, let's go, let's play. What an opportunity. And not one of those guys knew the Lord. Not one of them. And so I said, Kirby, man, that's Sunday night. He said, I know, but church is over. Everything's done. It won't bother your family. It's from 9 to 11. I'm like, Kirby, I don't know. I've never played on the Lord's Day. I don't know that I can. I said, here's what I'll do. I'll go play one time, and if I feel peace about it, then I'll play. But if I don't feel peace about it, I can't do it. I went and I played one time. I felt guilty the whole time. Rightly or wrongly, I felt guilty the whole time. I went to Kirby. I said, Kirby, I can't play. But believe me, Kirby, if you do not play, it will be sin. For you not to play. It will be sin for me if I do play. Do you hear me? Kirby shortly thereafter led one of the guys to the Lord, and within 3 months he died of cancer. For me to play because of my conscience, I couldn't do it in good faith, it would be sin. It would be wrong for Kirby not to because he felt the Lord was leading him to do it. It was a disputable matter. How do you keep the Sabbath holy? He just says, keep it holy. He doesn't spell out how to do it. For Kirby, playing ball and leading some to the Lord was obviously keeping it holy. I could not. Who was the weaker? Mine was. I told you the other day, I was out at Friday at the park or something, and someone who knew me said, Jeff. And I came over and she said, you're walking around with your nose in the air. I thanked them for that. Let's not walk around with our nose in the air. We're beggars telling other beggars where we found the bread of life. Amen? Now, I didn't mean to walk around with my nose in the air, and if I did, shame on me. Okay, so the first one is accept. Accept the person. Even if we have disagreements, accept them. We're still brother and sister in the Lord. Accept the person. Indisputable matters. Now, someone is caught in some sin, some heinous sin. Scripture says that we should go to them gently to restore them. Okay? This is talking about disputable matters. Like, how do you keep the Sabbath holy? Can you eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols? Because that meat was greatly reduced and really cheap. I guarantee I'd be buying it. I like cheap meat. I like good meat, but I like cheap meat. Good cheap meat. Are you with me? On disputable matters. Now, the next thing. Don't judge. The next plank, don't judge. Don't judge. And this is verses 2 through 13. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Who has the weak faith? The one that can only eat veggies. The only one that eats food of food. And it's okay. We have at least one vegetarian here, and that's okay. I made fun of that before. That is fine. We eat what we eat unto the Lord. One man's faith allows him to eat everything. That would be me, called a garbage can. But another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on the one who does not. Don't judge each other. Don't judge each other on disputable matters. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. It shouldn't go either way, for God accepts him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man, now he was talking about eating, now he talks about worshiping on different days. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. here regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. So let's not judge each other. Whether you like a Gibson or a Yamaha, let's not judge each other. Whether you drive a nice Chevy or a piece of junk Toyota like I've got, let's not judge each other. Stop judging each other, is what he says. And then, we're still under convictions here. We've left preferences, we're under convictions. Live by your convictions. 5-8, it says, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Study the text. Study the text. Know why you believe what you believe and stand on it. For many, many years, I couldn't distinguish between the voice of the Holy Spirit and my mom's voice. They both sounded the same to me. As I've gotten closer to the Lord and walked more with the Lord, I begin to distinguish between the two. But at first it was hard. But you need to live by your convictions. Your convictions on disputable matters. So some of us today are going to go out and eat at a restaurant. If you believe that that is acceptable and you're doing it unto the Lord, do it. If you cannot, don't judge another person. Live by your own convictions. Don't judge others. You must live by your convictions. Does it make sense? Don't impose your convictions on other people unless they're 18 or younger and live in your home. Do not impose your convictions on another unless they're 18 years and younger and live in your own home. If someone lives in your home and you have convictions, that person should honor your convictions. And if they're children, for sure they're to honor their parents. When I go visit my parents, I live by their convictions. Year after year, we go on vacation with my parents and I talk to our kids. Remember, we're spending vacation with Ganny and Poppy. We will live by their convictions this week. And we talk about why we did that, why I disagreed with their convictions, but when under their roof, we will honor them and respect them. I could be wrong about that, but that's my conviction. Okay? That's my conviction. Next, do not cause another to stumble. I love this word in the Greek. I think I didn't even look at it, but from memory, it's skandalon. Don't be a skandalon. He here wants to be a skandalon. Even the word itself sounds terrible, doesn't it? Is that right, Matt? Skandalon. Don't be a skandalon. Don't be a stumbling block. Don't use your freedom to cause another person to stumble. Don't be a stumbling block. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in a brother's way. Don't cause another to stumble. We're still in this realm of convictions. Here's the goal: peace and mutual edification. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. You know, some of us just love stirring the pot, don't we? Any pot stirrers here? What's the scripture say? Let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Now, if the Holy Spirit leads you to go and speak to someone, go and speak to someone. But as a general rule, we should always ask, is this going to lead to peace and mutual edification? And you're probably thinking, preacher, is this message leading to peace and mutual edification? Yes, I think it is. And now here's the final one. Here's the final principle overall. It's in the very last verse. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because he eats what he, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Dear brothers and sisters, everything we do should be an extension of our faith. Everything that we do should be an extension of our faith. If you can't do it in peace of mind, believing that this is done in faith to God, do not do it. Do not do it. If you have a conviction and you can't shoot that big buck, leave him for me. I'll do it as unto the Lord, and I'll eat him as unto the Lord. I may even use that big rack to stir the stew. But do you hear me? If you cannot do that as unto the Lord, then don't. Because whatever is not acting in faith is sin. And you know I'm using a silly illustration, but if you got a big buck that's a problem for you, let me know. A big bear, too. So here we are. Here's six of them together. For right here, we've left preferences. We're talking about convictions. Accept one another. Don't judge one another. Live by your convictions. It is sinful for me to impose my convictions on another person. That is wrong to do it. Unless they're in your house and 18 years old and younger. Don't cause another to stumble. The ultimate goal, peace and mutual edification. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Okay? I know it's taken a long time to get to the point. So we covered preferences, the things we like, choices. They're not good or bad, they're just different. Convictions, they're based upon God's word, and I'm acting in faith, believing this is what God wants me to do. And now we're over here to absolutes. Having no restriction, exception, or qualification, absolutes. Here's one of the absolutes in Scripture. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Is that an absolute statement? Is there any other way to the Father? I believe that's why Christianity is under such attack in our country. Because in our country, we're the country of choice. And we want options. And we don't like absolutes. But Jesus, it's an absolute statement. No one comes to the Father but by me. Period. Exclamation point. It's an absolute. There is no wiggle room. I mean, that's my next one. There's no wiggle room with absolute. Now, here's the key principle concerning your belief window. With time, preferences and convictions can move over this direction. I pledge allegiance to the right. They can move to the right. So here's what it looks like. Our preferences, our convictions, our absolutes. In many instances, when you add time to it, it's kind of like evolution. Time plus slime equals humanity. Not true, okay? But with time, preferences can sneak over and become convictions. And sometimes with time, convictions can become absolutes. When I have people that tell me, unless I use the King James Version to lead someone to the Lord, they're not saved, that's an absolute. Can you see that? And that rascal should have never left Preferences. That thing snuck from Preferences all the way over to there. And the worship wars, you know, when they go on, and they're still going on in some places, if it's not a hymn, and then they'll talk about the music, that the music is not of God. Yet so many people don't realize that many of the old hymns, do you know where they got the melodies from? When all these people prayed to receive Christ during the awakenings, they brought them in and none of them could sing. They're like me, none of them could sing. So they took barroom tunes and put Christian words to them so that the people could worship and sing tunes that they knew, but they filled them with God's word. And by the way, are there some hymns that have pretty poor theology? How about We Three Kings? There were three gifts. We don't know how many kings there were. There's all kinds of both hymns and choruses that are theologically poor. They're wrong. But sometimes we get stuck on the music. Here's some church conflicts. King James versus NIV. Women's clothing. That was a war at one time, was it not? I don't want to know what ladies have slacks on, but in the church I grew up in, ladies did not wear slacks. I don't think I've ever seen some of my family members in slacks. The color of paint or carpet. Now, that would never happen, would it? That would never cause conflict. Now, to illustrate this, the first major church split. So the church was founded by Jesus and the apostles, and the church grew for about 1,000 years. And in the 10th century, like 1054, some 1052, somewhere around there, the first church split happened. And these were the issues. Okay, philoke. That means, ouch. I broke the altar. Philoke. Please ignore that. They'll fix it, right? The philoke issue is, was the Holy Spirit sent from the Father, or was the Holy Spirit sent from the Father and from Jesus? The first church split that eventually became the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. The first split was over the philoke issue. Did the Holy Spirit, was he sent from the Father or the Father and the Son? The second major thing, could the priest, could your pastor marry? Roman side, no. Eastern side, yes. The date of Easter. And the fourth issue was the haircut of your pastor. The Eastern tonsure. Remember those old movies where they're pretty bald and then it's growing out? The Eastern tonsure. That was the first church split. Can you believe it? Surely we would never do that, would we? This is audience participation again. What are some modern day church conflicts? Other than worship wars. Any ideas? I hope you have none, because then we'll be okay. Any others? There's lots of them. Homosexuality is one of them. What does the Word of God say? There are some churches that endorse that. In our faith tradition, we stand on God's Word, and we believe that homosexuality is a sin. Does God love homosexuals? Yes. 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 That practice is a sin. But God loves homosexuals. He loves them. He loves all people. But His Word says it's sin. But that's causing huge conflict in churches, because some churches do not believe in the Word of God. They've stepped away from the Word of God. That in and of itself is a modern day church conflict. Do you believe God's Word is God's Word, or do you not? We believe it is. We will die believing this is God's word. Holy, inerrant, infallible, it is God breathed. And if this faith tribe called the CNMA departs from it, yins, y'all, all y'all are welcome to join with me as we leave. But I don't believe the Alliance ever will. Because we believe this is God's word, and we need to submit to it. Okay. The worship wars. Here's just primary guidelines for worship. Is it biblically accurate? Is it biblically accurate? The words that we are singing, is it biblically accurate? And I talked with our worship leader. What's your name again, dude?
Chris.
Yeah. Chris is in complete agreement with this. Amen? Sorry, Chris. Does it draw us into God's presence? When we gather together here to sing in worship, the goal is, and I know this is Chris's heart and the worship team's heart, they've already been practicing, they've already been worshiping. They're already in his presence worshiping, and their goal is to invite us to join them in worshiping God and coming into his presence. That's the goal of our worship here Sunday morning. Amen? When you sense you're in conflict, and here's conflict, freeze, flight, or fight, what are your typical physiological responses? I want you to recognize, what are they? Now for me, I get real quiet and I start thinking. When I go into conflict, I get quiet. So if I'm really quiet, be concerned. Because then I usually come out pretty aggressive after I'm quiet for a while. But begin to identify when you go into conflict so you can recognize it. Consider evaluating, and that's my challenge to you, consider evaluating your personal belief window, which is this, preferences over here. What I like mine is chocolate versus vanilla and some other things. Convictions and absolutes. And now here's where I really want, think about your current conflicts. Are they based on preferences, convictions, or absolutes? And the final thought that is one of the most important ones, let me read it right from there and then illustrate it. Thinking about Sunday morning worship, are we willing to forsake our own preferences so that others may encounter God in a manner that is preferable to them? Let me read it one more time. Thinking about Sunday morning worship, are we willing to forsake our preferences, my preferences, your preferences, so that others may encounter God in a preferable manner? Let me give you a specific illustration. A few years ago, I was in a worship service. I've been in lots of them, but this one in particular stands out. It was a communion service. There was beautiful music playing. I don't like a whole lot of stuff because I get all confused with too much stuff. Too much sensory input confuses me. So there's like this flute playing. It is so beautiful. And someone grabs a tambourine. Beautiful. Bang. Beautiful. Bang. I was ready to go make him eat that thing. I mean, literally, I'm there. You do know me. I was ready to go make him eat it. And then the Holy Spirit said, are you going to let that little thing hinder your worship of God? It's helping him worship. I don't know how. It's helping him worship. Are you going to let that little tambourine stop you from intimacy with me? I'm telling you, that's what he said. Right in the service. I had to repent and ask forgiveness for wanting to make him go eat it. And I've been in so many other services that the worship was in a manner I was so uncomfortable, but the Holy Spirit would just whisper, are you going to let that rob you of intimacy with me? And thank goodness, by His grace, my answer each time was, no. And I talked to the guy with the tambourine. He was tickled pink. He thought he was helping people into God's presence. I'm like, praise the Lord. Yes, I lied, but fibbed a little bit. The reality is, different types of music help people enter into the presence of God. And am I willing to be uncomfortable so that others can be? Man, I hope our answer is always yes. And to never let a style of music rob you of intimacy, even if it's a tambourine. Now, I got nothing against tambourines. Please don't leave her saying Pastor Jeff hates tambourines. I got nothing against them. They're wonderful. In that context, for me, it was such a distraction. But then when I said, yes, Lord, I don't want anything to hinder. Oh, I could just sense His presence. He just lifted me into His presence. So, one more time. Thinking about Sunday morning worship, are we willing to forsake our preferences so that others can encounter God in a manner that's preferable to them? I hope we say yes every time. And the follow-up is, are you going to let some little thing like that stop you from worshiping God? Are you? Man, let's not let anything rob us of intimacy with Him. Because it's what we were created for. It's what we were created for. Intimacy with Him. Amen? So, you didn't think it'd ever come, but we're to the end. Please, prayerfully consider. Just looking at your own belief window. That's what the extra piece of paper is for. In the areas that you are in some conflict, there could be all kinds of other things, but if it's in relation to worship or stuff like that, what are your preferences? What are your convictions? And what are your non-negotiable absolutes? Because I promise you, many people only have one category that covers all of them. And I believe it's very healthy to distinguish between them. Because does it really matter whether I like chocolate or vanilla? I don't, strawberry. See, there's always a troublemaker. Strawberry. Let us stand together. Let's close in prayer, and then let's worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Father, this was a much more kind of instructional message that I believe You gave to me and are delivering to us. Please, we've read through Your word, Romans 14. Please make it reap a harvest of righteousness. May we accept one another. May we not judge one another. May we live by our own conviction. May we see that the ultimate goal is mutual peace and mutual edification. And reveal to us anything that is not based upon faith and trust in You. Deliver us from ourselves. teach us how to worship you in all of life, Monday through Sunday, to worship you in every way in our lives, whether it's here in the sanctuary or out working or playing or whatever. In fact, by faith, I thank you in advance for how you're going to continue your work in us to bring glory and honor to you. You inhabit the praises of your people, so please delight yourself in this time of worship. Abba, Father, I pray these things and I pray them boldly in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us worship in spirit and in truth.